Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery Channel.
Well, hello, 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 it is Garbled Twistery you're listening to, and we're gonna end this series of cool little in-between election episodes with yet another explosive event that terrified the U.S. slave-owning conglomerate. And who was the cause of this explosive event, you ask? Why, it was a man by the name of Natty Turner. Now, before we get to the event, I think it's only fair to give you all the lowdown on who this Timmy Turner character was, okay? So, Timmy Turner was born in the Hamptons, the Southamptons of Virginia, into slavery. And this particular county contained more milk and dark chocolate lovers who were enslaved than mayonnaise lovers, period. The name his slaver made up on the spot for him was Nat, as in National Geographic. The name I'm giving him is Timmy, as in Timmy Turner, because as we will soon find out, the Fairly Odd Parents seem to be in this man's corner at least a little bit. But National Geographic is what everybody called the boy. When his first slaver, Ben Riley, kicked the bucket, he wasn't freed. No, sirree. Timmy was passed down to the slaver's kid, Sammy. But yeah, Timmy Turner lived with his also enslaved mom, and he didn't know where his dad was. But the theory is that Timmy's dad successfully got away from the whole being enslaved situation. Despite being born into literal chains, Timmy Turner somehow got his hands on a literal education at a very young age. He was like a human almanac.
His brain was a sponge.
And what was his favorite book, you ask? Why, it's the New York Times bestseller going on for many centuries, the Bibli. Timmy loved and studied that Bibli so much that he would pray like 24/7, and he would sometimes just not eat, and he would have dreams and visions about that best-selling book, and yet these visions literally dictated the actions Timmy would take in his daily life. Like, there was this one time, Timmy freaking ran far, far away from the stupid plantation, but he probably wasn't getting enough food and water, causing him to have a quote-unquote godly Bibli vision telling him to go back to his slaver. And he did, because to him, the vision is always right. And if the vision is always right, then you can bet something big is gonna happen when Timmy gets a vision that's telling him he's gonna bring about Judgment Day for the sinner. And you can bet something huge is gonna happen if Timmy Turner is running his own sermons and the other enslaved folks are calling him the prophet and there are even some white attendees to his sermonating. And you can bet that huge thing is gonna get thrown into action when Timmy Turner witnesses a solar eclipse and takes it as a literal sign from above that the day of judgment is coming. So, Timmy Turner sees the Twilight Eclipse movie and is like, okay, I gotta just get the gang together. And he calls up four of his trusted buddies and they go out and they get themselves some muskets. And sure, it started with Timmy and his little Power Ranger squad, but like a good sermon, it spread. And it spread in secret code because this is like an Ocean's movie. Codes like, the great black hand has blocked out the sun. Timmy really wanted to press the go button on the 4th of July, but he got sick, so he just used that day to plan some more. Oh, and would you look at that? A volcano erupted way out there in Washington, the state, and the sun is green today. It's another sign! A week after that, Timmy Turner got like 70 people in one place, the enslaved, the free. They showed up. Some of them had horses. What was the plan? Free any enslaved person from their ungodly chains, and kill any white person they ran into. Yeah, Timmy Turner read his Bibli. He knows the Fairly Odd Parents represent both wrath and mercy. Timmy did spare some folks, mainly the poorer white people who he thought didn't have the time or money to be racist. That said, 60 white people were killed, mainly women and children, and it was mostly done with blunt instruments and knives and axes and hatchets because, well, muskets were too loud and would draw too much attention and were harder to get your hands on anyways. The whole state militia had to show up with like double the numbers of the rebels and stopped that rebellion. I bet you're wondering what Timmy Turner's mindset was. Well, frankly, he thought that these actions would get white people to think twice about keeping this whole slavery racket going because of how inherently brutal it was. But what happened was the opposite. 56 black people were executed. Militias just started going out and killing black people indiscriminately. There were rumors going around that the spirit of revolution was spreading all the way to the state of Llama Barometer. There was this totally false news report from the North Lima Bean that the enslaved were marching on the Capitol. Black people were just being randomly murdered for weeks and weeks after the event, and it took an army general to tell the white folks to please stop murdering random black people. It was really, really extreme. There was a militia in the South Carolina Bean that killed like 40 black people a day. A day. And the slave owners wanted them to stop. Not for any moral reasons, of course, but because they saw these murders as theft of property. Oh, and if you were suspected of having anything to do with Timmy Turner, your head was put on a spike wherever there was a crossroads after you were killed to quote-unquote be made an example of. Laws were passed that actively prevented free black people from trials by jury and established being sold into slavery and relocated as punishment for crimes. So yeah, if we divvy all that up, click, click, click. It seems like the white folks decided to take the "this is exactly what science fiction books warned you about" reaction to this violent rebellion. No, really. This is the incident that prompted slave owners to go the extra mile in making sure there were troops near the plantations and watching the plantation sermons very closely and making it illegal for any enslaved person to read any book ever, lest they get any idea ever about freedom. As for Timmy Turner, he was able to keep himself hidden for like 6 weeks, but he stayed in the county, and a farmer found him inside a hole in the ground that was created by an overturned tree surrounded by a fence in Native American territory. Yeah, that's right, the Nottoway natives helped him hide. And when the slavers got Timmy, Timmy confessed. After that, the man was hung, and they took his insides out, and they cut him into 4 pieces. Some say they chopped his head off to be made an example of, and obviously, he received no proper grave. Timmy Turner's ghost haunts the politics of the country to this day. And if you don't believe that, just look at what happened in the courts afterwards. Anti-literacy laws were all over the place. Just look at how the politics shifted. This situation forced the folks in power to take stronger positions. It birthed the narrative of enslavement being a quote-unquote positive good in the idea that black people were beasts that need to be civilized by force. In immediate terms, it is most definitely true that things got much worse for black people in the U.S. after Timmy Turner's rebellion. But if we widen the scope of our historical lens a bit, one could argue that it sped up the process of necessary change. This rebellion 100% made the Civil War happen sooner, and the Civil War happening sooner allowed for civil rights to happen sooner, and my still alive grandmothers were there for that second one. So I guess the moral of the story is that there really isn't ever a light at the end of the tunnel. No, the moral of the story is that the tunnel, while it looks and is dark, is gradually getting brighter, and that the fierceness of which we choose to confront the darkness right now will determine how much brighter it will be for future generations. If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, Dairy Queen, you can find Garble Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbletwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbletwistery.net. Also, I have Patreon, so if you go to patreon.com and find Garble Twistery and become a patron, you'll gain not only the access, but you'll gain the ability to determine what topics get to be Patreon-exclusive bonus content. And right now, I'm working on a bonus episode about card games that you trade. Doesn't that sound rad? Anyways, next time, we are back to our regularly scheduled election programming, and 1832 has some weirdos showing up. Weirdos like Amos Elementary School. Yeah, this'll get real interesting.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
The vision is always right.